We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the First in Football Podcast, your behind-the-scenes look at Princeton Tigers football. Here's your host, Cody Cruchel.
It's the week one edition of the First in Football podcast presented by Jag One Physical Therapy, the official physical therapy partner of Princeton Athletics. I'm Cody Cruchel alongside the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Bob Sorace. Coach, great to be back. Game week.
This is great, huh, Cody? We're back.
Before we talk about football, I want to get into the important questions. Your acting debut?
I don't think in February I'm going to be winning Best Supporting Actor, but it was just incredible to see the process, see how, and you know why Eli was such a tremendous player and so smart, so detailed, but had a sense of humor, and it was really well done. I was so pleased, you know, to highlight our campus in something so significant. The start of football was tremendous. Coach Willis got to be a security guard. He really got to change his role, and they added some lines with him on that. So
he was sort of an extra when he was cast, and then he worked his way into a leading role.
Yeah, I guess our public safety was busy that night, and they had him take over that role. He got to be the getaway driver, and right before it started, they changed his line from freeze to freeze dirtbags. So he'll be remembered for that. His two words on that. And I only flubbed my lines a couple times, so I was happy with that.
Did you get a chance to catch Peyton and Eli on Monday Night Football, that alternate feed last night?
I love it. I think we should just keep doing telecasts like that. Anybody who's a quarterback, my dad kept texting me. I was here at work. My son plays high school quarterback. You got to get him watching this. Well, he was watching it, but just the sense of humor, bringing Ray Lewis on or bringing in Charles Barkley for some fun. And it just added an element. So as a fan, you could watch the game, but you could listen to what a check is when he went through a two-play call. And people understand, like, football, if you're playing that sport, I think most of our athletic teams are like this. There is an education. We say education through athletics. The amount of time is spent on making these split-second decisions. In that case, the quarterback, Peyton Manning at that point, regurgitating a call that has two plays, canning it. He threw it in the trash can because the coverage look wasn't what you wanted for the first play. So he ran the second play, which was a better play. That's the quick decision making, and you're doing this in a matter of milliseconds every play.
And then do it 50, 60 times a game.
Yeah. In his case, Peyton Manning's case, doing it as well as anybody who's ever done it.
Let's talk about your team and the guys on the field looking to go out and execute. So you're about a month into training camp. It's game week at Lehigh this Saturday at noon. First game for this team in just shy of 2 years. Give us the state of the team through the first 3-4 weeks of training camp.
They were so excited. And, you know, there's a togetherness on an athletic team, you know, a bond. And any niche group on a campus, you build friendships, you build relationships, you build bonds. And they're formed through the hard work and sacrifice and commitment that these players make, which is unreal, the commitment they make to playing this game at the highest level, you know, the Division I level. And they've come back in shape. They've come back energetic. They've come back prepared. And camp's been fun. It's every day watching. In camp, it's Princeton versus Princeton. So as a head coach, you kind of never win or you never lose. But the coordinators and defense and offensive coaches and players, that competition every day is great. And seeing our guys compete to the level they did was terrific.
Last week, you guys announced your 6 captains for the year. Colin Eady, Trevor Forbes, Nico Ivanisevic, James Johnson, Cole Smith, and Jeremiah Tyler. Tell us about each of those guys, what makes them a good fit for a captain, and then just sort of walk us through the process. How do you get to that group of 6 guys on a roster with 125 plus?
Yeah, so and this is the 11th season, you know, doing this that I've been head coach. For 10 of them, I've let, you know, I had the players pick the captains. One of them, we finished the season and we had 2 guys that I wanted to immediately put them in charge. It was just going to waste time to wait until spring ball. Well, with this group, we have a large number of players that weren't here, right? So our team wasn't connected. And I didn't want guys voting in the spring for somebody they never met. So we waited till training camp to do it. We have 17 seniors who came back for their extra COVID year of eligibility that way. So it's a bigger group. We did the voting almost exactly the same, but instead of voting, I let them vote for a maximum of 4 guys. And those 6 guys had the most votes. But what was interesting, we had 5 other seniors who had 20 plus votes. And, you know, we formed a leadership group last winter, continued that into the training camp. So we weren't going to have captains in training camp, where it's a guy or two, pretty much 2 guys at every position. And that leadership group has taken ownership of their positions, ownership of their groups, units that way. And it made, like, I don't know how I would get to 4. You know, the leadership has been absolutely tremendous as a whole. They are accountable. They are unselfish players. They're great attitude, body language, people. But yeah, there's probably a dozen guys that just stood out from the last 18 months, 20 months since COVID hit, where they've just stepped up.
You look at that group of seniors, the guys that took the gap year, trained on their own, came back. Up and down that list, there's a ton of guys that could have, you know, gotten out of here in 4 years, taken the Princeton degree, gone and played their final year as a grad student somewhere else, but they wanted to come back, and it was important to come back here and run it back for their senior season. What has it been like for you to be around those guys and to see them compete in camp?
Yeah, it's, in a way, losing last year. You know, we talked about it, the hurt, the struggle of not competing, but the beauty of it is I got this extra year with them that I wouldn't have had, and got to spend, you know, 12 more months with a group of people I care and our coaches care deeply about. And it's a credit to Princeton, because many of these guys, they could have went and transferred to FBS schools for scholarship. They could have maybe went pro. It's a credit to the Brotherhood. It's a credit to this university that they wanted a real experience this year, academically, socially, and on the field, and they wanted to do it together. And that's been really, really nice.
Players have to be chomping at the bit to finally take the field this weekend for the first time in 20 months. Three other guys that sort of come to mind who were brought on staff right before everything shut down: Brandon Cuevas, Chris Czarkowski, EJ Henderson, who's been here but is back. Got to imagine Saturday is going to be pretty special for them because they've been around the program for, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 months. They've yet to actually stand on the sideline during a game.
Yeah, they got hired in February. In Chris and Brandon's case, EJ got hired
like the day of, right?
He got the Friday before we shut down on Tuesday. He got hired on a Friday. We practiced our first spring ball practice on Saturday. On Tuesday, we shut down. On Friday, we went home and, you know, moved his family, four children, great wife, moved his family here in the midst of COVID. And, it's just been the staff camaraderie has been incredible. This is unique. We've all worked together. We've all made different sacrifices, but mostly because we care about each other. We care about the players, just like the players who sacrificed and care about this program.
I don't want to go position by position as we go through this because you've got some spots where you've got known commodities, like running back Colin Edie, all-time Princeton leader in yards per carry, really impressive list, two-time All-Ivy, depth at the returners at receiver. I want to start with the offensive line. It's a veteran offensive line, and historically in the Ivy League, the teams that do well are the teams that have some experience up front.
Yeah, no, we have five seniors, and which is huge going in your first game. It's, you know, not to make excuses or anything, it's Lehigh's third game, but Lehigh has a tremendous defensive package, multiple blitzes coming strong side, weak side. Having a veteran group makes you feel better that they're going to be competent picking everything up that we're going to see on Saturday. But, you know, and Riley Radosevich and Henry Bird, two guys who've been all Ivy League players, and in, you know, Nico's been just a rock at center. David Hoffman the same way at right guard. And Connor Scaglione's had an incredible camp. He was a very talented player, and has just improved every year. But the jump he made in the year off has been significant.
At the quarterback position, you've had a really good run at that position here. One player on the roster who's stepped on the field in a game situation, that's Cole Smith. But I know this was a competition coming into camp. And sort of as you hinted at the entire time, it's still a competition heading up to the opener.
Yeah, the seven quarterbacks in general have been so impressive in practice. And some are working, you know, young guys versus young guys. But the play of, you know, Cole was a fifth-year senior. Brevin is a fourth-year senior. You know, Blake is a transfer. We are operating in tight windows, making throws at the highest level since I've been here. And so, you know, we haven't played a game. This is practice, as Allen Iverson would say, but, you know, they haven't done it in a game, but our completion percentages, our decision-making, they've been so exceptional with those things against our own defense, which is very complicated to figure out. I've been really happy with the play of those guys and you know, heading into this game and really, you know, get a good feel this week and make a decision.
On defense, a lot of known commodities: Sam Wright, Jeremiah Tyler, James Johnson, your leading returning tackler. One spot where you do have some gaps to fill is up front. Jake Strain and Joey DeMarco, 2019, two seniors that were starters that have since graduated.
Yeah, the good thing is, and Steve Urbitt does such a great job with that group, that we've always played multiple guys. So when you lose a Jake Strain and Joey DeMarco, you have guys who've played quality time. And Carter Christopher's done a really good job at nose tackle all camp. Uche Ndukwe's been outstanding. Mike Azevedo, last week was his best week that I've seen him play. James Stagg had a really good freshman year, and he's had a really tremendous camp. Reese Height has been coming on. I'm probably missing some of the guys because we roll them in and out of practice. Tola Banjoko, he has flashed, you know, Sam Wright ability. So we're seeing that in flashes, and just with some of the guys who haven't got as much playing time, hopefully we can get them to do that consistently every play.
I remember 2017 when you guys had all the injuries and then into the Ivy Championship season. The next year, we were talking a lot about how you had so much depth in the defensive secondary, but they were all young guys. Those guys are all seniors this year.
Yeah, it's a very veteran group.
Did you say a chance to travel seven seniors in the defensive backfield?
Yeah, it's kind of like the offensive line. It's a very veteran group. In the case of like a DeLon Stallworth and Trevor Forbes, they've been starting, you know, since they got here. Christian Brown has been primarily a starter since he got here. Matt Winston's been on the field primarily since he got here. C.J. Wall was an all-Ivy League player as a freshman, has battled some injuries. He's had a very good camp. Sultan Shabazz led us in interceptions as a sophomore. Or I guess a junior with that, but they've all come here ready to play and have been really, really sharp.
Our player guest coming up next is Jeremiah Tyler. We know what he can do on the football field. I've never seen him not smiling when he's out there, and I've got to imagine that's going to be the case again Saturday when he has a chance to take the field in his senior season.
Yeah, there's so much positivity and, you know, he's just a tremendous football player, but it's the other things, his energy in the locker room, on the field. But the other thing, he's, you know, one of the best players in the league, right? At the end of practice, when everybody else is going in, he cleans up like he is the bottom of the depth chart, right? Like the little things you notice as a coach, he stays out after and he'll make sure the bags are put away correctly and everything else. And, you know, in the initial team meeting, one of the messages, Rondé Barber used to do that, right? Rondé Barber is going to go to the Hall of Fame. He has more defensive touchdowns and return touchdowns than anybody. And Rondé Barber used to do that. And JT hears a message like that and he emulates the guys you should emulate.
Shifting the focus, your opponent this Saturday at noon in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Mountain Hawks, 0-2 on the season. The first two games, the scoreboard has not been kind to them. Tough losses to Villanova and Richmond, two top 25 teams. A program that's not that far removed from competing for Patriot League titles, a top 5 defense last year in that 3-game spring season. No matter what the records say and the scores say, this is always a tough battle, and it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, we've certainly had our struggles up there historically, you know, since I've been here. And, you know, Tom Gilmore is an exceptional coach. They are going to be a physical team. They're going to be a smart team, a prepared team. They've been in, you know, as a coach, I'm not watching. I don't look at the score. I look at the plays. And every game has been a battle. And then maybe a flurry, maybe a turnover, touchdown, you know, 14 or 21 point swing. But, you know, Richmond's a top 20 team and they're up 3-0 and playing very well. And then a couple things snowballed on them. But they're a top 5 defense in the country last year and gotten the majority of their pieces back. A physical defense, an aggressive defense with some real good leaders. Offensively, they'll present a lot of issues. Two different style quarterbacks in some ways. One more the classic dropback thrower who really, you know, looks exceptional as a thrower that way in the dropback stuff. And then a quarterback that, you know, can throw, but he's more of the running style. He had a, you know, a lot of yards last week running the ball against Richmond in his playing time. Three running backs. One's a transfer from Michigan. You know, and the other one was as high a recruit as came into the Ivy Patriot League the year he came in and is an outstanding runner. I think their tight end is terrific. I think, you know, kind of like our guy, Carson Bobo, he can do it all. He's a great blocker. He catches the ball. He's physical. Just a real good asset for him, an experienced O-line, physical O-line. So we're going to have our hands full, no doubt.
First game back after not competing last year in the Ivy League, is it a little bit more of a challenge starting on the road because you're not able to bring your entire roster?
Yeah, that, you know, that part, and we got to revisit. Like, we should be more than 62. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the least percentage of any sport in the Ivy League, and we're leaving guys home who are coming maybe off injury that, you know, I'm going to take the more cautious approach, given we can only bring 62 that way. And it's just, we should be at 70 or 75 minimum. It's not, you know, I can't imagine it's a budget thing. I'd make one phone call. And it's a horrible thing when you got upperclassmen who've worked their tails off and are varsity players and are probably, you know, going to be temporarily on a road game that are going to play for us next week against Stetson. They're going to see playing time next week. So that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but I guess that's the positive, right? You have the one game on the road, but then you get two at home against Stetson and Columbia and then into Ivy League play. Yep. RWJ Barnabas Health is the official healthcare system of Princeton Athletics. To learn more about services in your area, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. Saturday at noon, the season opener for the Princeton Tigers, Goodman Stadium, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You can watch on ESPN Plus, and you can also listen on the Varsity Network. That's Learfield's new app, or on goprincetontigers.com. Coach Sarace, great catching up with you. Good luck Saturday. We'll talk to you then.
Awesome. Sounds great. In the words of JT, I appreciate you, Cody.
Appreciate you too, Coach.
Thank you.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today, tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Looking to get away this weekend but don't want to go far? How about a last-minute getaway to the Princeton Marriott at Forestal, nestled on 25 acres of lush woods and just a few minutes from campus? Enjoy tranquil guest rooms, state-of-the-art health club, indoor pool, and a full-service spa. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, craft cocktails and local beers at Iron and Ivy. Plus, their 2,100-square-foot M-Club lounge takes relaxation and convenience to a whole new level. If a wedding, reunion, or other social event is in your future, the Princeton Marriott has a variety of event spaces, indoor and outdoor. Located on College Road East across from the Forestal Village, explore all the Princeton Marriott at Forestal has to offer at PrincetonMarriott.com.
Big third down and 10, empty backfield. They're going to get to him in the backfield, Jeremiah Tyler. Tyler untouched, but Richie Kenny on his back on the Schulkoff Field turf. Cornell is going to have to punt it away.
Back on the First in Football podcast, and our first player guest of the season, senior linebacker from Detroit, Michigan, a 2019 Bushnell Cup finalist for the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year, Jeremiah Tyler. Jeremiah, thanks for stopping down.
Thank you for inviting me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Glad that we actually get to watch you and your teammates take the field this week. And you've got to be excited to finally be back out there. You had the year off last year. You get back, you go through a month of camp. What's going through your mind right now as we record this on Wednesday afternoon?
Man, I am juiced. I have never been so excited to play a game in my entire life. You know, after that year and a half, almost 2 years without playing football, we're finally strapping on the pads again, playing against somebody other than ourselves, and I could not be happier. And going into this game, I feel confident because our coaches are confident. They've instilled good things into us, and everybody's super hungry to just get some action. And we're all focused on being disciplined and doing the little things right, which helps us win games. And I just enjoy the atmosphere at practice that we have right now.
I think you sort of burst onto the scene your freshman year. You returned that block punt for a touchdown in a 28-0 win against Penn. That was 6 years ago. You've been here 6 years.
I'm old. I'm getting old.
Wiley veteran in the locker room?
Yeah, I'm up there. I guess I'm considered a coach, a playing coach, but I don't know.
Let's go back this time last year. So September 2020, you get word that the Ivy League is not going to play football in 2020. Where are you at and what are you doing a year ago?
A year ago from today, I am sad at home, but I am also working for one of our alumni. I believe it was Anthony DiTommaso, who is working in commercial real estate. So I believe I was working for him at the time. And also, probably around this time, it's like 3:30 right now, I was probably at the gym pumping some iron, trying to get my mind right, trying to get over the frustrations of COVID and all of this happening. But then also trying to stay positive about the new and upcoming people that were coming in, the freshmen and the super freshmen, and also meeting them and seeing my teammates, trying to see a friendly face.
You mentioned working with Anthony DiTomaso, talking to Carson Bobo a couple years ago. He had a chance to do an internship with a former Princeton football player. I feel like that's pretty common, where guys who played here help bring along the next generation and get you guys some experience.
Yeah, so our football team does a great job of our alumni networking connection. And I really appreciate them for that, because we get the opportunity to get that real life working experience and also stay focused in school, you know. And you go through the entire interview process, making sure like you're prepared for when your time comes for an actual interview. And even some guys, if you perform well enough in your interview or in your job, in your internship, you receive a full-time offer to come back. And just that work experience that we get from the PFA in itself is awesome.
So you could have come back to campus, so you and a handful of your teammates take last year off, take the gap year, get ready to come back this year. You could have come back to campus last year. You could have graduated. You could have gone somewhere else. Can't imagine there's a ton of college football coaches that wouldn't love to add you to the defense. How seriously did you entertain the idea of just coming back, getting the Princeton degree, and then trying your hand somewhere else?
I mean, I couldn't do it, you know? Like, the thought came, because I won't lie about that. The thought came, but as soon as it came, that's as quick as it left, you know. And I felt I had unfinished business here with my family and my brothers, because we've gone through so much. I'm not going to let one uncontrollable thing that happened to us impact the rest of my stay at Princeton University. I will control my destiny here, and I will finish out strong with my teammates.
What were those conversations like with your teammates?
It was tough, but like, I'm pretty sure like once we heard like all the news, we all instantly texted, FaceTimed, made sure we were okay, and had like a plan instantly. Honestly, we just had to get all the finer details sorted out with, you know, the NCAA and the school itself. But other than that, we knew that we were going to try to come back.
Before we get into football, I want to dive into your background a little bit. Growing up in Detroit, at what point did you realize coming here to a school like Princeton and playing Division I college football was a possibility?
I didn't know it was a possibility until they came knocking on Detroit Country Day's front door. But I always prayed about, like, you know, just like getting, like, taking care of my family somehow or another, like whether it be by football or education, some way. And Princeton came to my school and showed interest, and I jokingly, like a year before that, had said, like, I wonder like what would happen if I went to Princeton. Like, that'd be crazy, right? And me and my friend were just laughing about the idea of it. And they came through. It was like a blessing in disguise, you know. Sometimes you have to speak it into existence, is what we go by.
We were talking a little bit before we popped on air about the academics and how you're finishing up requirements for your major, and then in the spring you start focusing on your thesis before you get the Princeton degree. Talk a little bit about the direction you're leaning towards your thesis and maybe how your experience growing up pushed you in that direction.
Mm-hmm. So I'm majoring in sociology, and right now I believe I have a concrete idea of what my senior thesis will be, and I'm leaning more towards the educational piece. And I would be like questioning like how education, how the view of education in African-American low income households, how it's viewed, and how it impacts the student's success rate in life, pretty much, or just even like finishing school, like finishing high school, like how their upbringing and like their surroundings influence that.
What's the most interesting class you've taken for your major?
I think the most interesting class I've taken for my major, it'd have to be, I think right now, because I'm taking a class, Soc 215. It's about like the internet and like how like it shapes our society today. And I feel like that's like, we can relate so much to it. And it's just like constant changing, and like seeing like the connections between the class and like real life and like going through it, like I see like how it connects. And like that's the thing I like about sociology, because you can always see it happening.
John Mack, the new Ford Family Director of Athletics here at Princeton, met with the athletic staff a couple weeks back when he was first hired. You and your teammates were there. You and your teammates were loud. You sang the Cannon song for him. I know you had a chance to meet John afterwards, walk up to him, shake his hand. You guys are both from Michigan. I think I heard you say it means a lot to have you in this position.
Yeah. Like, where I'm from, you don't really see too many, like, black men in positions of authority. And especially, like, at a school like this, such a prestigious school, Princeton University, the number one university in all the land, you know? But, like, just seeing that, like, seeing him in that position, it really, it motivates you, like, yes, this is possible. And I feel like with other kids of my same, you know, same stature, like, you get a little bit of extra juice from that. You're like, maybe I can do this. Like, maybe I can strive forward. And, like, it helps you gain motivation for yourself, and like you want to motivate others, like to continue like going on like this educational path. Like, take your education as serious as you do on the sports field, you know, or in the court or whatever you do. So like that just like gave me like a second win. I was like, for sure.
When we talk to Coach Sarace and we ask him, hey, tell us about Jeremiah Tyler, he doesn't mention anything about football. He talks about, you know, you doing the little things, picking up trash after practice, bringing guys water and Powerade when they forget it at camp over the summer. Have you always been a leader, or is that something you've had to work at?
I mean, being a leader is just constantly working on, you know, yourself and like how you want others to treat you. Basically the golden rule: treat others as you want to be treated. And so like I do these little things to stress to my young guys that we, even us older guys, we need to do the little things in order to be great, you know. And that's, whether that's picking up the trash, taking the ball back after practice, like, it shouldn't be just like a duty, like give it to a freshman, have him do it. Like, nah, like you can do it yourself. And like, I feel like a bunch of great leaders have done that in their past. And so me just going through it now, I just want to instill like the attention to detail to my young guys, and that it doesn't matter the role, like your role, every role on the team is big, whether that be on a scout team, first string, second string, third string, it doesn't matter. But every role, if you are on this team, you are here for a reason.
Tell us a little bit about the guys around you in that outside linebacker group.
I love my boys. Shout out to the old game, by the way. But we're the outsiders, as we like to call ourselves. And Coach Manny is an unreal coach. He, I just love how patient he is in the film room, because he'll tell us 100 times what we need to do right, and we'll get it done wrong 99% of the time. But yet again, like he pulls us to the side with the same old voice, like, you know, just relax. Just stop thinking and just do it. And like, just his patience overall with us is unreal and unmatched.
So you've been here, you know, coming into your sixth season, super senior here at Princeton, finishing up about as complete of a defensive player as we've seen recently in the Ivy League. That said, what's your focus been on? Is there one or two areas of your game that you're really putting an emphasis on in camp?
I've been really trying to focus on, in camp personally, just like setting a tone for practice, because I know in the past when we've had success, more up-tempo practices that we've had have led to like bigger games, bigger hearts, you know what I mean? And like you, that competition in practice transfers over very well to a game, because you're going against your own teammate. You're bringing the best out of him, and he's also bringing the best out of you. Basically, iron sharpens iron, excuse me. And I just feel like if we set that tone in practice, like when we are all on the same team, going against another team, is slow. It's slow for them. And by slow, I mean like it's bad. But like that comes with just like our preparation. We emphasize our preparation, because without preparation from our coaches and from ourselves, success is not a thing.
How is 2021 Jeremiah Tyler different than 2016 Jeremiah Tyler when you first stepped on campus?
His hair is a little bit longer. He's old.
A little bit.
But I feel like he's a little bit wiser, you know, more mature. Still goofy, though. You know, you can't lose the goofiness, because if you lose the fun, what fun is it, huh? But I just probably say he's just more mature. He's got his head on right. And he's trying to bring others with him.
Give us the scouting report on Lehigh. I know it's kind of early in the week, but what have you seen watching film of the Mountain Hawks?
Mm-hmm. They have a really good team, actually. We just have to keep our head on straight. We have to lock in on their two key receivers. Number 87, who's a tight end. He has got some good size. And he's got some decent hands. And their wide receiver, 85, as well, has some good hands there. And they're both playmakers. And they also have a running quarterback, number 18, who they'll throw in. But they have more of a throwing quarterback, who's number 11. And I don't really get too deep into names. I usually just call them by their
just
numbers.
Just looking for the number, exactly.
Because that's what I'm
I need to know
the
names. You have to know the
right,
number.
Right, exactly. So basically, you know, you got it. You got that for me. but you know, we're just looking to play fast, be smart, and be disciplined. You know, all the things that Coach Cerase emphasizes in team meetings and everywhere he is, discipline, discipline, discipline. So if we do that, we do all the little things right, you know, and then the game will come out the way it should be.
JT, I don't think I've ever seen you on the field without a smile on your face, and I've got to imagine there's going to be a big one when you and your teammates run out of the tunnel up in Goodman Stadium this Saturday.
100%. I'm going to be cheesing. I may even let out a tear, but we'll see. I got to act tough, though, you know.
Can't wait to see you and your teammates back out there. Appreciate you taking a couple of minutes on a busy week one, and good luck this Saturday.
I appreciate you so much.